This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
And let us pray. Almighty God, by whose grace and power your holy martyr Alban triumphed over suffering and was faithful even to death, grant us who now remember him in thanksgiving to be so faithful in our witness to you in this world that we may receive with him the crown of life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning. The theme of our readings today is very clear. Go home. And from our crowd today, it looks like a lot of people already listened to that. There is a consistent theme throughout the Bible, and that is God sending people saying, go, from the time of Abraham. And in the prayer that I just led us in for St. Alban's feast day that was yesterday, there is a going in his life as well. He's on the run. It's the year 200 or so. It's illegal to be a Christian. And there is this priest who was on the run fleeing persecution, and he ends up taking refuge at a house owned by a guy by the name of Alban. And in the course of that interchange with the priest on the run, Alban is converted, and he's converted in such a powerful way that when the authorities finally get to Alban's house, having discovered where the priest was hiding, Alban takes on the clothing of the priest, so that instead of arresting the priest, they arrest Alban. He is therefore put on trial, and they want him to say what his name is. He refuses at first, but he ends up saying, I worship the one true living God. My name is Alban. They take him away, and he is martyred. And he becomes the first martyr that we know by name in the British world. There is a great cathedral there outside of London in a town that is now called St. Albans. God is always calling people to go. We see it in the first reading we heard today. You know, we've been having these succession of readings about Elijah's journeys. And in each successive reading, there is a sending forth, a going that Elijah's called to do. A couple weeks ago, he was called to go forth to the Wadi and take refuge there. And there he does, and the angel brings food to him. The Wadi dries up. He is called to go forth, and he's told to go to where this widow is. And if you remember that one, he goes there, and the jug does not empty, and they all have food, and at the same time, he ends up bringing the son who died back to life. He is called to go forth, and he goes forth again. And remember that reading we had about who's the true God, Baal or our God? And they do this thing with the barbecue, with the fires, and the Baal followers can't get anything to happen, but Elijah tells them to pour water on it, and somehow miraculously the fire starts. And all of those who followed Baal end up being killed. As a result of all this, God calls Elijah to go again. He goes forth. And he goes forth, and we pick it up today where Jezebel, because you killed all of these leaders, we're going to kill you. And God calls him to go forth. He takes refuge. He gets to Horeb. He goes into this cave. And there he's told, come out of the cave. There is God. God's not in the wind. God's not in the earthquake. But in the silence, there is the voice of God. Now, knowing that the queen wants him dead, he's probably waiting to hear, okay, just stay here and hang out for a while. But that's not what he's told to do. He's told to go forth to Damascus. Again, to go. To go, to go. We have this incredible story in the gospel today, the healing of the demoniac. We can let our imagines run in how crazy this guy must have been. It's almost as if Luke, just like he does so many times to show us people who are on the fringe of society, he wants to sort of paint a picture of someone who is just the most ugly, messy, avoidable person that you would want. He runs around, he's a crazy man. He's a streaker. He runs around without clothes on. They put shackles on him and he breaks through the shackles. He must have been foaming at the mouth like some crazy guy. And of course, if we encountered that on the street, we would want to run the other way as well. But in that instant, he goes from that crazy man, that possessed man, to this totally sane man in his right mind. It's incredible what Jesus does. But the more incredible thing than that is what happens at the end. Because he would give his life for Jesus. Jesus has really given him his life back. And he just wants to hang out and sit at the feet of the rabbi. It's almost like he wants to become a groupie for Jesus. And yet, Jesus doesn't let him do that, does he? What does he tell him? Go home. Go home and proclaim all that the Lord has done for you. We're called every Sunday to go out of here and to proclaim what the Lord has done for us. You know, we call this in some lingo the Mass. That comes from Latin. When they used to do this in Latin, it was ite mita missa est. Go, the Mass is ended. That word, Mass, is the same root word as that Latin missa, same root word as mission. It means to be sent. We are sent forth from here. And it is just like Elijah is sent forth constantly to do what God would have him do, just like this demoniac who's now been healed has been called to go out and proclaim, so are we. So the question becomes for us, am I aware of how much God has done for me? I had to write this past week the reflection that's the Bible challenge that we have going in the diocese. And we're to the midway point of that Bible challenge, and it's never too late to pick this up. If you feel like I'm so far behind, don't worry about it. If you'd like to pick it up and start it, it's a great website, and a different clergy person each day is writing reflection on the scriptures for the day. But I was tasked with one for 1 Corinthians 10, and I've read Paul's letter to the Corinthians probably 1,000 times in my life, but this never caught me like it caught me this time. Because Paul is talking about the people in the Old Testament whom God sent forth to go as they go into the wilderness in the Exodus. We all know the story. And he says, you know, they were sent forth and they had a cloud to protect them, and they ate the spiritual food and drink that God sent to them, but most of them perished. And then he says they perished because of different things. He says they perished, number one, because they were worshiping idols. So I think, well, I don't worship idols, so I guess I'm okay there. Then it says 23,000 of them perished because of sexual immorality. Well, I think I've got that one pretty much under control, so I think I'm okay there. And then he says, and thirdly, they put God to the test. Well, I don't think I've done that one in a while, so I think I'm okay. But then he says, and a lot of them perished because they were complaining. Ouch. Can you imagine? He's putting on the same level idolatry, sexual immorality, putting Jesus to the test. Complaining. Maybe I need to start proclaiming a little more what God has done for me. This is a serious thing. You know, we're into that time of year right now where it's routine, it's summertime, and For most people, this is a more leisurely time. If you're in school, you probably get a break now. Things tend to slow down in Florida during this hot summer hurricane season. Maybe it's a good time for us to just get more in touch with what God has done for me. It seems trite sometimes when we talk about counting your blessings one by one. We might not be possessed by a legion of demons that God has redeemed us from, but there are ways in which God continues to bless us. And when we go home, we are called to proclaim that. There is one cautionary thing I add today. And that is, you know, the people in this story have a hard time. They want the demoniac who's healed to leave. They want Jesus to leave. There's something about them that they sort of want to go back to the way it was. Because now I've got to relate differently to this guy, and now I've got to relate differently to Jesus because I see how powerful he is. We can have a tendency to want to go back and to return to the way things were in our life. But the call of God is to go. So, as we concentrate on our gratitude and being aware of how much God has done for us, we need to avoid that tendency to want to just go back and live in the past. Somebody a long time ago said it, but it works. If you turn the word live around and read it backwards, what is the word you get? Evil. I don't think that there's any linguistic thing there, but something to think about. We are called to go. We are called to move. And the strength of God is there for us. You know, in the Old Testament, the word they used that was revealed to them for God was Yahweh, meaning I am who am. There is, Helen Mallicoat wrote a little reflection on this that I think really hits this theme that I'm trying to get at today. She writes this, "I was regretting the past and fearing the future. Suddenly my Lord was speaking. My name is I am. When you live in the past with its mistakes and regrets, it is hard because I am not there. My name is not I was. When you live in the future with its problems and fears, it is hard because I am not there. My name is not I will be. But when you live in this moment, it is not hard because I am here. My name is I am." May we go forward from this place, proclaiming all that God does for us. Amen.